Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Jags. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the legendary Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. Jim, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well.
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Jim, what did Joshua Dobbs show you in the game against Dallas, and what have been your impressions this week as he prepares to start against Jacksonville about how prepared he is to handle this moment that's upcoming on Saturday?
Well, I've been very impressed with him, just how he came in and got right to it. And, you know, I wondered how it might look on Thursday night, especially after being there for just a couple of days, and behind, you know, a makeshift offensive line and without Derrick Henry behind him and throwing to receivers they had not been able to work with. And I thought he came in and played extremely well. Looked poised. You know, they saw some more creativity with him, you know, at the quarterback position. So I was really impressed. And then to watch practices this week where they're actually able to run and do things full speed. I mean, there have been so many practices over the last month that have been walkthroughs, and now seeing them with a little bounce this week, you know, I think it's going to help him even more with his timing. It's certainly going to help him to have Derrick Henry behind him and hopefully stay as healthy as you can up front. So he just, you know, like Brable said it, I mean, he gives him the best chance to win. And it's hard to believe a guy that has just been there for a couple of weeks would be in that position, but that's just the truth. We all saw Malik Willis in his three starts, and we saw Josh Dobbs in his one, and it looked better. There's no question about it. And now you got to do it on the road in a hostile atmosphere with a lot of pressure on you. So that's a completely different situation.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating for sure. You know, to see how much he can improve. You know, with the extra time, I guess you double your time with the organization from one start to the next, right? Basically. So, what does that mean? And you know, can he take care of the ball and make enough plays? And I've talked to, you know, quite a few people this week about it. I know you have too, Jim. We were both talking to Pat O'Hara yesterday, the quarterback's coach, and I thought it was really interesting. He's talking about, you know, Christmas Day. So my understanding then, he would have been, I guess, the only player in the building, right? I mean, that's a follow-up question I should have asked of Pat O'Hara, but, like, he sounds like Joshua Dobbs is on his way to Atlanta to see his family. Coaches are in there breaking down the Houston film, but players off, and then he's like, hey, can you come in? And Joshua Dobbs like, yeah, I'll come in. And so they bring up, right? I mean, he would have been, I assume, the only player in the building, right?
Yeah, unless some guys were going in there later in the day getting treatment,
right,
maybe trying to get a head start or, you know, something like that. But it was definitely, you know, a crash course situation where he knew, you know, he needed to do as much as he possibly could to get himself ready to play. And, you know, obviously he was more than willing to do it. I think for him, you know, no matter how good it looked, and he looked better throwing the ball downfield. I thought he looked like he was in command. I mean, he has, you know, taken kind of ownership of this offense in practice. I've been very impressed with all of that. I think one of the biggest keys, and it's where the game flipped against Jacksonville, is you can't turn the ball over. And it wasn't all Malik in that game. You know, Derrick Henry had a big fumble, but Josh Dobbs lost the ball in a fumble, threw a pick. You know, that Dallas game, he's lucky he didn't throw a pick six in that contest. And you just can't go down there and make mistakes that makes it easy on Jacksonville. And then I think if you do that early, then I think you're feeling the pressure even more for him. You know, you start playing nervous. You start playing a little bit different. So he can't afford to have that happen. But there's no doubt he's an extremely smart kid and has worked hard at it. And some of it's unfair. I mean, to be comparing, you know, how can a guy like Josh Dobbs, you know, come in and look so much better than Malik, you know, after just being there in such a short time, and Malik's been there all year. We can't ignore the fact that Josh Dobbs has been in the league, you know, for, you know, 6 years and has worked in practices and has been around NFL offenses. And it's not like he's a rookie either. We can't lose sight of that.
Jim Wyatt with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Jim, for the game Saturday, as you look at the way that Jacksonville has played, the state of the Titans heading into this matchup, what's the path to victory? What's the formula for the Titans if they're going to win on Saturday in Jacksonville?
Well, I think a big formula is to get off to a good start and be able to run the football and keep it a game all the way through. I mean, you fall behind down there, you know, turn the ball over, you know, take Derrick Henry out of it, you're in trouble. I mean, that I've been down there so many times where, you know, it wasn't much of an atmosphere, and the Titans, you know, made it an atmosphere by not playing well early, or, you know, just, you know, weren't good enough. And, you know, this is the first really, really big game for the Titans in Jacksonville down there, and, you know, forever. I still remember that AFC Championship game down there when these two were competing for division titles, you know, early on in the Titans days. And this is going to be probably the best atmosphere they've had down there since the Titans have been down there. You know, they playing with a lot of confidence. So Titans can't turn it over, can't get that crowd riled up early by being in a hole. They've got to be able to run the football to take pressure off of Dobbs. And defensively, you got to do some things to disrupt Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you just can't let him sit back there and play pitch and catch. Having a healthier DeNico Autry and a healthier Jeffrey Simmons helps. You got to keep your fingers crossed if you're the Titans that Monty Hooker and Christian Fulton can play, and that gives you more experience on the back end. And just got to keep it a game all the way through, and not play from behind is the most important thing for me.
Well, you mentioned health, and of course I figured someone would pop up on that injury report. Didn't know who, but Treylon Burks, a guy who's had a lot of bad health luck, you know, very early here in his career, Jimmy. But first of all, how problematic could that be? Because I still feel like he's that guy who gives you that, you know, we saw the play he made against the Cowboys. I mean, he's still, I think, a huge part of them having offensive success if they're going to have any before the season ends. Also, just have you gotten to the point where it's just like, okay, just waiting for the other shoe to fall with health of this team? And it's just incredible in 2 years here.
Yeah, and this would be very problematic if it ends up being an issue. You know, he has not consistently been able to stay on the field, and now he's finally able to put a few games together and starting to look like himself again. You know, this is the last thing you need is for him to have a setback or have an injury crop up that's going to either severely limit him or keep him from playing. And I think today's injury report is going to tell the tale on that one. So, you know, if he's not able to play, I mean, you're missing your guy that can go up and fight and take the ball away from a defender, that can kind of run away from people, that can make guys miss. And it would, you know, it would affect Josh Dobbs, certainly, you know, having a guy he's worked with a lot in practice. So hopefully it's nothing that will keep him from being able to play, but, you know, we've seen other guys deal with groin injuries. You know, there's different severities to those things, and you just hope this isn't one that's going to linger for a while.
Jim, how big could the rest be heading into this game for Jeffrey Simmons specifically, and that tandem together of Simmons and Autry on the defensive side of the ball? Where the more I look at this game, the more I think if the Titans are going to win, those two are going to have to be dominant.
Yeah, I agree. And I will say this. I mean, Autry's looked as good in practice as he has all season. You know, when he first started trying to come back from this injury, you know, he was, you know, just had tape and padding all over his body and didn't move very well at all. And now this week he's kind of got a bounce to him and feels good. And I think he's a huge key, because when he's good, and they work hand in hand, they feed off one another. But when DeNico Autry is out there, it makes Jeffrey Simmons that much better. And Jeffrey Simmons, obviously, you know, very disruptive and a game changer in his own right. And when he's going, it makes DeNico Autry, you know, get less attention, and those guys can create some havoc. You know, on that defensive front. So that I think that's a big, big key to this game, is to try to put some pressure, you know, on Trevor Lawrence, you know, in the middle, to get your hands up and knock down some balls. I think Tyrre Tart is coming off maybe his best game of the season the way he played on Thursday night. So it helps a guy like that as well. That's something the Titans have to be able to do on Saturday night.
So Jimmy, I know you interact with a lot of fans. I very much enjoy your mailbags. I'm just wondering, how much are you hearing from people who, like, would rather have a couple ticks higher in the draft than winning this game, which is something I don't understand. But also, how important do you think this performance is, and I guess this result, in terms of how the Titans view next season?
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't get that part either. I mean, that's the fan in me, not fan of the Titans, but when I'm a diehard fan like I have been for my whole life, of whether it's Vanderbilt Sports or for the Dodgers or whoever I root for, I can never imagine a scenario where I cheer against my favorite team, because you want your coach to get fired, or because you want a better draft pick, or because the season's been miserable in your eyes and you just want it to end. I mean, if you're a Titans fan, you should want to win this game no matter what it means for the draft pick. I mean, I think some people maybe have lost sight of how much it means to win a division, or they have forgotten or weren't a fan of the team when this team was 2-14 or 3-13 or could never get over the hump to win a division title. So I do get some of that. And I also, with that said, we've seen around here that, not just here, but across the league, but having a higher draft pick guarantees you nothing. Yeah, obviously it gives you, the build up to the draft. It makes it more exciting and you think you're going to get a better player, but, that doesn't mean you're for sure going to get a better player picking 4 or 5 spots earlier. So I get that part. I don't understand that line of thinking as far as what it means for next season. Again, winning the division is important, and if you can get in the postseason and somehow find a way to win a game or do something memorable there, I think it has to change your look at next year and how you want to structure. Along with this draft pick talk, there's a lot of talk of blowing things up or trying to start over or trading some of your top players. That's what happens when you lose 6 games and you're all of a sudden under 500. But if this team can find a way to win and win the division again, and I don't know that it changes everything this offseason, but I think it definitely gives you reason to maybe think about things a little bit differently.
Well, Jim, we're looking forward to the game coming up on Saturday. Really appreciate you making time for us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you guys have a great, great day. I heard it start off well with Joe buying the coffee, and I hope you have a great rest of the week.
Appreciate you.
Thanks,
Jim.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man. Jim White from TennesseeTitans.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexel. Jim, always looking out. Glad you got your coffee.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Jim said, "Michelle, how are you doing this morning?" I said, "I'm doing great. Rex Road got coffee this morning. It's a good day."
Absolutely.
I thought that meant he's been listening the whole time. Darn it. Oh, well.
Jimmy sleeps in a little bit later. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans and the Jags coming up next. But first, Joe, Rexroad has a message from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
And the message is, it's the perfect time to download FanDuel because it's America's number one sportsbook, and also because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 right now. Free bets back, $1,000 if your bet doesn't win. You have to do a sign up with promo code Joe102. Obviously, on FanDuel, you can bet a money line, you can bet on a point spread, do a player prop, but if you combine them, you get a bigger payout with the same game parlay. I'll stick with my parlay, Titans-Jags Saturday night. It is Titans. It is Derrick Henry anytime touchdown. It is under. That would be mine. You do whatever you want to do on an app that's safe, secure, easy to use. Sign up again, promo code Joe102 for the no-sweat first bet. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner in the NFL, and you have to be 21 or older in present Tennessee. First online money wager only. Refund issue is now double free bets. Expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you'll think will win this week. For a chance to win great prizes, you can play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sports book in Vegas. Download their app today. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Tennessee Superbook is the number one sports book in Las Vegas. We are live from the 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Jim Wyatt for joining us in the last segment. Lots to look forward to coming up on Saturday night between the Titans and the Jags. I will say, Joe, a lot of pessimism on our text line this morning about the Titans and the Jags coming up on Saturday. Titans fans, based on the ones that we've heard from so far, not feeling great about the game, and in some cases, not even really wanting to feel great about the game coming up on Saturday against the Jags.
I still think it's a very small number. But, yeah, it's like different things. So Wes in Clarksville says, only reason I'd want him to lose this game was to mean that Downing would be gone. If they win, I think they'll keep him. Okay, so you want Todd Downing to be fired. You want a certain coach to be fired. I've heard people, you know, Craig Aukerman, Todd Downing, whatever. I'm sorry, but like, if you are a fan of a team and there's a division championship on the line, I understand how frustrating this team has been, but like, you would rather them lose so a particular coach gets fired? I can't get there. I can't get there, man.
I can't get there. I reject the idea that you have to root for your team to win every time in every situation. Like, this idea that you should never like want your team not to win, I reject.
Well, okay, but here's the only time that I think it's okay is, as we've talked about this, but like, when the Titans were either going to have the first or second pick,
Correct. Yes,
root for them to lose.
Absolutely.
Sure,
yeah.
To get the number one pick, great. But other than that, when would it be okay?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, situations like that, I mean, look, I'll be straight up with you. Towards the end of Butch Jones' tenure, yep, rooting for Tennessee to lose. Get him out of there. I mean, you can make the argument, what in the end is best for your program, best for your team? Is it marching on with what you got, or is it not? So I don't just totally out of hand reject that idea.
Yeah, in the extreme. But in this situation, I do.
In this situation,
it.
Yes.
I especially reject it because of the, like Jimmy said there, this, it's like people, I've seen this like top 10 pick. Does that mean like you get like a top 10 finish in football or something?
Yeah,
like, ooh, top 10 pick. Yeah. Oh, yay. Like 10, 11, 14.
Wow,
great. Pick a good player.
That's the thing.
You could do that at one. You could screw it up at one. You could be the Ravens and pick Lamar Jackson at 32. I mean, make a good pick. Yeah, there's a couple guys who maybe who will be off the board now.
Yeah.
If you go lower, that's totally, that is not at all. I think he's right that, first of all, again, do you not value at all a division title, a history-making third straight?
Agreed.
Also value, like, smacking the Jags around again and shutting them up again for another offseason, because they do look like the best future in this division right now. So wouldn't you like to shut that up right now? You'd rather just them beat you and have one of the biggest collapses ever and then just listen all offseason about how awesome they're going to be?
The part of the draft pick stuff, like the NFL draft is such a crapshoot with the way that it goes. Like, to me, if you're worried about the difference between like the 10th overall pick and the 16th overall pick or whatever the Titans would end up getting, I mean, you're kind of wasting your time there.
You're weirdly too into like the non-actual football playing than all the other stuff.
Right. Like, I would assume, like, if you want a higher draft pick, to me, part of that would be you drafting a quarterback, because that's when you can really like transform your team. And I would assume that the Bryce Youngs and the C.J. Strouds and maybe even the Will Levises of the world.
Say it, Robbie. Say it with your chest.
Wow. If the Titans better hope he's off the board.
Ooh, what if
he will
there?
Be with the Colts. That is my ultimate called shot.
Again, the
what
Titans better hope that
there?
This is the case.
With J-Rob.
If the Titans take Will Levis, I might have to take the next day off.
You'd be like, Shannon Sharp taking the next day
off. Yeah, I might have to. You know what?
Joe and I can have
you.
A full Will Levis Kentucky football show.
I can't do this. So.
We could break down all two decent passes he threw in the Tennessee game.
Yeah, it'd be a very quick session on that standpoint. But I say all that to say, like, that to me is when you're worried about the draft board, right? Like, getting a quarterback. Like, I'm not saying right. The Titans can't draft a quarterback this year, but even if you got the 10th overall pick, like, the guys that you'd probably want in most years are gone by then.
Yeah, right. So, I get, you know, if you're a little higher – that gives you a little more to package a bunch of stuff together to try to move up.
Sure.
But it's not gonna be enough. So, I feel like it's a no brainer. Speaking of collapses, by the way, I do want to go back to Jared, who was texting me. So he's saying that the 93 team was actually the biggest collapse. Also, I was wrong. It was Jack Pardee by 93. Glanville had moved on. Glanville back at that point had gone on to the Falcons. But 93 Oilers were like 12-4, lost to Joe Montana and the Chiefs. And, you know, there's this documentary. Apparently that's a huge reason why they moved from Houston, et cetera, et cetera. I still say, when you talk about collapses, that's losing one bad playoff game, but it was still Joe Montana and the Chiefs. I mean, it was an upset. But like 35-3 with Frank Reich at quarterback? That's everybody still talks about that game.
Oh,
so
yeah.
In the NFL circles, I don't think there's any comparison.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jason from Nashville. Jason, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I mean, I understand as a fan, you don't want to be a one-and-done playoff team. But I do want to recognize these players have incentives for going to the playoffs. I mean, they bonus, they get more money for that. So to think that they're not motivated to want to be in a playoff is just silly from a fan base, in my opinion. And correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think they are incentivized for going to the playoffs, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're not even talking about that. I mean, no one thinks they don't want to get there.
Right. I mean, they're beyond motivated to win.
Yeah. We're just talking purely just fans.
Yeah. JC in Goodsville says, tanking for an Isaiah Wilson pick? You never know. Win now. Titans were dominating the Jags last game before the turnovers. Dobbs shows if you can crowd Henry, he can effectively pass. Titans 23-20 against Jacksonville in this game. We'll see. If they get to 23, maybe have a good chance.
I'm reading that, and like, if you crowd Henry, wait, are we talking? Is Henry throwing a jump pass in this game now? I get what you're saying,
could
JC.
Be.
I get it.
He
I
does it
it
all.
He does.
I mean, actually, it usually works out when he throws a little jump pass. I'm just saying.
He does. We'll have more on the Titans and Jags coming up next. We'll hear from Pat O'Hara, Titans quarterbacks coach, what he's seen from Joshua Dobbs to this point. And also, Joe Rexrode would like to yell at someone, so we'll do that next.
Thank you.
As well. But in the meantime, Joe Rexrode has a word from OrderGreen.com.
I do, thank you. I have a lot of words today. I do have a word from OrderGreen.com. You're talking about the nation's number one online provider of all things THC and CBD. You're talking about tremendous products in terms of physical and mental benefits. Edibles, gummies, vapes, flowers, you name it, they've got it. And they also have an extensively knowledgeable team. They know the products they offer. This means you know they are high-quality products from reputable providers who give you nationwide same-day delivery right to your doorstep. And if you have a subscription to OrderGreen.com, you get 25% off every shipment of gummies. If you use promo code JOE20, 20% off your first purchase.
The way we played and controlled the game, but obviously, we've known that this game was coming for a while, and that this is where we wanted to be. Week 18, Coach Peterson said it a few weeks ago. You know, he's like, I got a crystal ball. This thing's gonna come down to week 18, and we're gonna have a shot. And we jumped on board. We believed it. We kept putting in the work, and look, we're here now. So we've known this was coming, but we had to take care of business every week to get here. And that's the same thing this week. We have to stay in the moment. We have to do what we've been doing, prepare the same way, put together a great game plan. You got to know it, obviously, and then go out and play the game. And that's what we've been able to do, and we've been able to execute. And the same things that won the other ones are going to win this one. We just got to play well and out-execute them. So.
That was Trevor Lawrence, Jags quarterback, in advance of the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars on Saturday night, discussing the clairvoyance of Doug Peterson and his visor heading into this game.
He's got nothing on your cheesehead, QB. I'm sure the ayahuasca told him that they would come back through all this and beat the Lions 47-10, as they will do Sunday night.
He always had hope. That's what he said.
It's funny. There were other locker room interviews, and people were asking about the crystal ball comment, and all the guys were like, yeah, he said he had a crystal ball, like, after the Chiefs game.
It was actually a Magic 8 ball.
Yeah.
Things look good.
Yes.
Favorable conditions. All right.
Just keep shaking it till you get the answer you want.
Duval.
All righty. We finally got it.
Woo.
First 8 times I shook the ball, it said no. Do you think kids, they even know what, like, the Magic 8 ball is?
I don't know. Michelle?
I do know what it
Thank
is,
you.
And I used to ask serious questions,
oh, yeah.
and I would think it was true.
Okay.
So.
All right,
it
good.
Is true. Doug Peterson is onto something.
Well, you know what the Magic 8 Ball is now. Catch up on smoking.
Doug Peterson, a part of the Kirby Smart coaching tree of wearing visors out there. Had a
nice
appearance with his visor on the NFL Network.
Oh, yeah, and he is absolutely committed to that visor.
Yes. And the cheater glasses.
It's unfortunate.
It is quite something. Discussing Joshua Dobbs, we've talked a lot about him this week. And, Joe, you caught up yesterday with Pat O'Hara, quarterback's coach for the Tennessee Titans, to get his thoughts on Dobbs. Here's what Pat O'Hara had to say yesterday at Titans practice.
Obviously, it was his first start, but when you're in the league this long, if you're doing it right, shouldn't you still be improving a lot as a backup, even if you're not playing on Sundays?
Yeah, that's your job. You know, as a backup, you really you spend extra time after practice. You work hard on the scout team. You definitely spend extra time studying and preparing to play. And preparing each week, and that takes a lot of self-discipline, and the guys that last long in this league understand that. I think he's had some good training over the years and different stops. I think sometimes when you have multiple stops, you're able to really take away some things that really work for you and maybe don't work for you, and it's been good so far. You know, we're glad Josh is here, and he's a good addition.
So that was Pat O'Hara yesterday out of Titans practice.
I actually wanted the rest of that play, but that's fine. I can paraphrase the rest of it. So he was also then, Jimmy asked him, that's my bad, Jimmy asked him about Malik Willis and how he's reacted. And there's been some, you know, kind of talk about, like, Malik, how has he handled this stuff? And he says, you know, he's coming earlier now, he's staying later now. And then he went on to talk about.
See, the first one in, last one out?
He didn't say first one in, last one out, but he did say he is coming in earlier, he's
checking.
Staying later.
I heard that phrase thrown around a few times.
Yeah, yeah. And he talked about the Christmas thing, which I thought was interesting. I mean, it's like, of course, you know, coaches, you know, Scrooge Rabel, get in here. No, I mean, you know, look, that's the job. You played on the 20, you played on one day, the next day you have to get the cut-ups done and go. So that's what they're doing on Christmas. But the players are off. Except, you know, Pat O'Hara's like, Josh, or maybe he said Joshua correctly.
Maybe.
You think you can come in? He was on his way to Atlanta. He comes in. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know anyone who would say no, right? Like, it would be. Like, you know, especially you're brand new to a team and everything, and you're like, nah, I'm going to go ahead and keep driving to Atlanta. But it's
not here about Chattanooga. Can't turn around yet.
But still, like, maybe someone would be at least like me. I'd be like, fine, you know. Yeah. I just feel like Joshua, I was like, sure, I'm excited to come in. And they spent the day breaking down film. But the point there about the time in the league, it can't be said enough, can't shame John Glennon enough. I mean, if you're actually working, which you should be doing, because like Jared said earlier, Stidham comes in and throws it all over the yard, and we do see this from backups in the league who are able to step in and, like, you're like, wow, seems like that guy knows the plays and can play. Like, that only happens if you are working every week like you're the starter. We just discard them in our mind because they're holding a clipboard on the sideline, but that's the job. There's no way it's easy. And there's no way that Dobbs hasn't done it correctly, which is why he is way ahead of Malik Willis. But he should be way, way ahead of Malik Willis. I never understood how you wouldn't get that. But anyway, I also want to yell at somebody else.
Okay.
So let's go back to the DeMar Hamlin conversation, the rant that we played, and the discussion we had about the pension and about, you know, taking care of players and all of these things, which I think I really, before all this, I mean, the height of CT talk, when it was really becoming a sort of, I guess, a new thing, you know, that was something that was talked about a lot, but then it gets forgotten. So Ben from Cumberland City, this is his comment on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. quote, y'all worship these owners too. Don't act like you're outraged now. I've never heard a Nashville media personality ask Amy Adams Strunk about these issues, end quote. And so I'll just read my comment back to him. We worship these owners? That's an interesting take. As for asking Strunk about these issues, when the hell would that happen? She doesn't take questions from us when she fires her GM. I haven't been able to ask her questions since asking her about drafting a guy who hit a woman when he was in high school. And, of course, that was Jeffrey Simmons. And she did, to her credit, appear at that press conference. I believe it was the day after the draft. And I don't believe she has been available. And if I'm wrong on that, someone correct me, but I do not believe she has been available to take questions since then. This is NFL ownership. They don't have regular press conferences. Some of them blab all the time, like Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah.
But acting like, well, you just asked her again about what do you think about the offense, and you didn't ask her about these issues? Look, these issues are for owners. They are for players, too. They're for everybody. It's not just about the owners. It's about everybody, current players caring about former players and understanding what they did to make all this possible is part of this, too. But do we worship these owners, Robbie? I mean, how much owner worship are we throwing up? I mean,
I become like part owner of the Green Bay Packers. You better be your start.
Then there may be some owner worship. Now, look, we have definitely credited Amy Adams Strunk. She deserves credit for a lot of things she's done. She's been a better controlling owner. She rescued the franchise from like bad management at the top, right? So that's fair and I think accurate, but I don't think there's a lot of worship going on.
No, I mean, look, to your point, I mean, Amy Adams Strunk did not have a press conference after she fired general manager in the middle of the season. So,
kind of tell you something.
There's not a ton of opportunities that you got to ask her about anything. And, look, it's her prerogative. She can do whatever she wants to do. Like you said, there's no real regulations for owners in the NFL to have to address the media. So that's fine. But, I mean, if there's only so much you can do if she doesn't want to talk to the media. It's only so much you can ask.
All we can do is worship her, really.
I guess so. You know?
But thanks a lot, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben with two N's from Cumberland City. I think I was actually kind of nice to him. Andrew brings up a point that John Burton asked Derek about this yesterday. It's a very good point. More worried about Henry not fumbling the damn ball than I am our defense and Dobbs. Stop fumbling, Derek, and all caps. I don't go into this game thinking, oh, boy, this is, you know, watch out. Every time he has the ball, he's about to fumble. It has been stunning to see that become any kind of a thing because it's just never, ever been a thing with him. It's obviously important in this game.
Well, it's obviously important. Now, the thing I'll say about that, and we've had this conversation before, but on the other side of things, like when Derrick Henry has been in his heyday with as much as he's been getting the ball, quite frankly, it's been remarkable to me over the course of his career that he's not fumbled more than he has just based on the amount of times that he carries the football. So, yes, it has been a problem this year, him fumbling the ball. I mean, the Jacksonville game is probably, I don't know if it's the greatest example of that, but it was a big example of that. And then the Houston game, it was just a crucial fumble by Derrick Henry. So there's no question about it. He's got to hold on to the ball coming up on Saturday. I can't say that I've reached the point with Derrick Henry where I'm just like terrified he's just going to fumble the ball every time he holds on to it now.
No, but yeah, it's the contrast to years of watching him. And you're right, it's actually remarkable that he never used to fumble. But why now is it happening? And he did say, by the way, John Burton asked him yesterday, and he did say that he's doing extra stuff. I mean, actually watching the running back drills yesterday, they had, I think, the first two drills were like punch-out drills and hold on to the ball, and Vrabel's like yelling at the guys, you know, who were doing like, punch it! You know, like they're working on it for sure.
Well, like I think back to the last Jacksonville game, right? He had two fumbles in the game. One was you're fighting for extra yards along the sideline, and there's a hit coming that you don't see, and the ball's out. And the other one is one of those brilliant direct snaps to him, which he didn't catch, and that's a fumble for Derrick Henry. So they're different things.
That's different, yeah.
Yeah,
that's different.
They're different things that are going on there, but no question about it. Like, if you're going to win this game, you can't turn the ball over. And that goes for Henry. That goes for Dobbs. Like, you got to play a pretty clean game on Saturday to win.
Yeah, it's the ball ripped out of an arm that could lift a mini SUV like, what?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, the turnovers, I agree with the start. Again, I think the start of this game is really key, but cannot give them the ball. Can't give them the ball. So it's Henry and it's Dobbs, of course. He almost threw a pick six in the first game. The later pick, you're kind of you're way down and you're trying to force something, but also the fumble earlier is, you know, some sacks you can't take situationally. He's got to be better, and he's talked about that this week.
Make sure you tune in for the NFL pregame this Saturday from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, located at 1634 Galleria Boulevard. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 4:30 to 6:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. NFL pregame brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Coming up next here on Robbie and Rex Road, it's time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scored tonight for the Predators, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on 1025-1063 The Games. And the standings are as follows in the competition. Some movement in the standings the other day. The listeners still in first place with 9 correct answers, but both Joe Rexrode and myself on the board on Tuesday night against Montreal, moving up to 8 correct answers. So just one behind the listeners in the competition. Michelle Knezvik right there as well with 6 correct answers. A very close competition in Preds Pick to Click. With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kyle. Kyle, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm going to go with Nino Niederreiter tonight.
Going with Niederreiter in the revenge game. Kyle, thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Y'all have a great day.
You as well. So Niederreiter taking on his former team tonight, Joe Rexrode. So maybe a little revenge game from Nino.
First, right?
No, I am. So we're going with Philip Forsberg in the competition.
So wait, so I'm last, and then I have to go to second to first?
That is correct.
And then I go to second to last?
No, and then you go to last, and then you go back to second.
Hmm.
Rotates all the way up.
Questionable. Very questionable.
So I'm going Forsberg. Niederreiter and Forsberg are off the board. Joe Rexrode, your selection in Preds Pick to Click.
All right, I'm going to stick with Matt Duchene.
Sticking with Matt Duchene. Niederreiter, Forsberg, Duchene off the
board. Michelle in there.
Michelle, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Well, in that specific order, my first, second, and third pick are off the board.
There you go.
But you know what? We've seen a lot from these young guys. So I'm going to go with Tommy Novak.
He's
been on a little bit of a heater.
Hello.
I would guess.
The first time?
The first time in pick-to-click history that Tommy Novak has been selected.
I know I did Cole Smith one time.
You did. I don't think Novak has been
selected. I did Cody Glass once.
Yeah.
I mean,
we had a caller last week go with Trennan and nailed it. So
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it, too.
Niederreiter, Forsberg, Duchene, and Novak, the selections in Preds pick-to-click. Presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Big game for the Preds tonight, Joe. They need to, I think from a confidence standpoint, they need to win one of these next two against either Carolina or Washington and show that you've got the ability to go on the road and beat a good team in this league. You know, Carolina is an elite team in this league. I would not put Washington in that category. I think Washington is very good, but Carolina is elite. You could get a win tonight on the road against that team. That would be huge.
Yeah. I mean, tonight in particular, just the way that the season has unfolded, they've played. They've been incredible. And I assume it would be Saros tonight, Lincoln, and tomorrow, right?
That is my guess.
That would be the logical way to go about it, right?
That is my guess.
Go with your best. And again, Lincoln can get you a win in Washington, but the way he's played, but you probably do need a special performance from UC Saros to win a game like this on the road.
You do, and we'll see if the Predators can keep things up offensively with the way that they played lately. They hung up 6 against Anaheim, 6 against Montreal, 4 against Vegas. So the goals have been coming a little bit more frequently for the Predators lately. A little bit of a different challenge tonight against that team and that structure and that defense and with the way that they hold on to the puck. This is going to be the toughest test the Predators have had in a little bit here. You know, I know they played Dallas and they've played Colorado, and I realize Colorado is not what they were last year with the injuries they've been dealing with, and they played them without Nathan MacKinnon. But this is this is a pretty tough test on the road tonight for the Predators.
I wonder if it's almost like playing a different sport when you just played the Ducks and Canadiens and now you get the Hurricanes tonight.
Kind of does feel that way.
Yeah.
Kind of does feel that way.
Raise the level.
We'll see what the Predators are able to do tonight. Some final thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dwight on the text line says, OMG, where is the Dylan Radins talk? It's been like 2 weeks since I've heard his name go, and I'm going through withdrawals. This is from Dwight in Kentucky.
Dylan Radins, R-A-I-D-E-N, apostrophe S, by the way.
There's that.
We talked some about Dylan Radins this week.
We did.
Yeah, we mentioned his name was uttered. So
he is injured, so there's not much to point in talking about him anymore. But yeah.
You got to listen, Dwight.
Yeah, come on, Dwight.
We'll try to talk more about him in the future. I mean, he's their left tackle of the future, so there'll be plenty of opportunity.
Travis on the text line says, Robbie, if it's Will Levis or Anthony Richardson with the Titans, who are you more okay with the Titans selecting if they go quarterback? Good Lord. Do we really think Anthony Richardson's going to be a first-round pick?
I don't know. I agree with what my colleague Tashawn Reed, I think we did like a mock draft of some NFL writers. He tweeted this, and I agree with the assessment. Richardson, Levis. I think that Richardson's floor is lower. Levis's floor is higher, but I think Richardson's ceiling is higher than Levis. Now, there's plenty of high ceilings that do not get approached, and I look at Anthony Richardson, I'm like, you should play another year of college football.
Yes.
That's what I think. But someone will take him on his on that ceiling, on his ability. First round? I don't know, man. I'd be surprised. I mean, there's enough quarterbacks this year that I think you're going to have some pretty good ones who go a little later. I mean, look, again, Hendon Hooker, I will continue to compare him to Kirk Cousins. I think he's safer. You know, like a Richardson could end up, Richardson is more talented than Hendon Hooker, okay? But I think I would take like a Hendon Hooker over an Anthony Richardson. And I think I would take a Levis over Richardson too, but I would not take a Levis in the first round, but someone probably will.
I think he 100% will go in the first round.
Yeah. I think somebody probably will. I mean, Richardson, the guy threw 17 touchdowns, 9 picks, and had a 53% completion percentage this year.
Yeah.
Like, he should have gone back and played.
He should have. Yet, the one time I saw him in person this year, I was like, oh, there's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Yep. Look at those throws.
That's not the only time.
They were ridiculous. Yeah. He had a couple other good games, like legit. And then he had some bad games. So, it's there. That day in Knoxville, for the most part, like all day, it was there. Now, that secondary can be a little bit forgiving.
Yes.
Spencer Rattler also is the greatest quarterback of all time for one night against the Vols. But, I mean, some of the arm talent, like some of the throws he made like across the field and stuff, were like, whoa, dude, how many people can do that?
Well, Travis, to answer your question, if the Titans end up drafting Will Levis or Anthony Richardson in the first round, it's going to be an interesting day the next day. I'll just put it that way.
It's be an exciting day on the program.
Oh, wow.
Very interesting day. Allie in Bellevue on the text line says, have you guys talked about Titans players and coaches using the word tournament instead of playoffs? What's that all about? This is from Allie in Bellevue on the text line.
That's actually, well, I will say that's something that's a John Robinson term for sure. He always used to say, we just got to get in the tournament. Just get in the tournament, and you never know what can happen. So I don't know if like it's because he said it all the time that it got adopted by more other people in the locker room. I don't know. Maybe that's a fireable offense. I don't know.
I don't know.
Hashtag playing from Green Bay.
Still looking for their first win on Saturday since the hashtag playing from Green Bay.
Whew, my goodness.
I did not anticipate the day after the Packers game that we'd be sitting here all this time later. The Titans would have not won another football game at that point. There's been a lot that's happened. It's pretty amazing.
It really is.
And here
is.
We are just over 48 hours away from finding out if this is going to be just a complete collapse or not for the Titans.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'm with what Jimmy Wyatt said earlier. Like, I have a hard time believing that this 3 hours of football doesn't have something to do with what they do moving forward. And I'm not saying it should be whatever this is. If we win, we're going to do this. Lose, do this. I'm not saying it that. But, I mean, look, when it comes down to it, it's the product on the field, and this is one of 17 three-hour segments that give you information, and the rest of it is a year of us blabbing about it. It's important. I mean, and it's the biggest collapse, whatever it is, or it's a huge and, frankly, I think surprising to a lot of people win.
We'll have more on that game tomorrow. Teron Davenport will join us at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to look ahead to the Titans and the Jags. We'll discuss the Predators game tonight against Carolina. Preds back in action tomorrow night as well. So lots happening on that front. And, again, NFL final week of the regular season is upon us. So we've got a lot to get to on that front tomorrow. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.